You know, Nan and I celebrated our anniversary a few weeks ago, and of course we both bought cards for each other. And as it turned out, both of the cards happened to mention something about the fact that husbands and wives are partners. And after we celebrated our anniversary, opened our cards and read them, we both commented to each other how we almost didn't buy the card because it mentioned the word partners. And because that word partners has been used today to describe something less than a biblical marriage between a man and a woman. You've heard it used in so many different ways. This is my partner, whatever. And we almost didn't buy the cards for that very reason. And yet the more we talked about it, we realized that we should not let this misuse and abuse of the word partner keep us from celebrating the fact that that is exactly what the marriage union is between a man and a woman under God. It is a biblical union, a partnership. And we see this in the marriage of the last couple that we're going to look at, a couple by the name of Aquila and Priscilla. Open your Bibles with me this morning to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Now, I'm sure that many of you got up this morning and said, you know what, I sure hope that the pastor preaches on Aquila and Priscilla. You know, my soul has just been so hungry for a sermon on Aquila and Priscilla. Well, believe it or not, you may know their names if you've read your Bible, but you may not know very much about them. The fact is that this couple may be one of the most important marriage couples in the New Testament. And there's so much that we can learn from them. And we're introduced to them as we come to this portion of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 18, where the Apostle Paul is on what is called his second missionary journey. And we pick up with Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 3. It says that after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. So here we are introduced to our next couple of famous lovers in the Bible, Aquila and Priscilla. Sometimes she is called by the name Prisca, and you'll see her referred to in those terms. And we learn from these verses that they lived originally in Rome, but because of severe persecution there caused by the emperor, they were forced to leave. Now, Aquila was a Jew, but we're not exactly sure about the background of Priscilla. Some scholars speculate that she may have been from a very affluent Roman family. There are records of a wealthy family in Rome by the name of Prisca. And if this is indeed Priscilla's background, then it's an amazing love story of how an aristocratic, wealthy Roman woman fell in love with an itinerant Jewish tent maker, and how they would come to be one of the most important couples in the New Testament. It's an amazing, amazing story. Now, somewhere along the way, Priscilla would have converted to Judaism. And so when the persecution arose in Rome, forced by the Roman emperor, she would have been forced out along with her husband, and the two of them moved together to the city of Corinth, and it is there that their lives intersect with the great apostle Paul. And it says in verse 18 that because Paul was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with him. You see, whenever Paul went into a village, whenever he went into a city, whenever he went into a new region, one of the things that he would typically do is he would go into the marketplace, and there he would speak about Jesus Christ and the resurrection. But another thing that he would typically do is he would look for work, because Paul was a self-supporting missionary. And so he was a tent maker by trade, so he began to look for the tent making shops, in this case in the city of Corinth. And so by the providence of God, he would meet and come into contact with another couple of tent makers, Aquila and Priscilla. And they would become lifelong friends and lifelong partners in ministry. So I want us to flip through the pages of this biblical marriage album of Aquila and Priscilla, and see what we learn from them about being partners in marriage. And again, we're going to be looking at a number of different passages, so it's be helpful if you keep your Bibles open as we study. The first thing I want you to notice is that marriage partners experience life together. Marriage partners experience life together. Now, amazing thing about this famous couple is that they are mentioned six different times in the New Testament, and every time their names appear together. They never appear individually. Their names always appear together. Now, I've mentioned the fact that Aquila and Priscilla experienced their vocational life together. They were partners in the tent-making business. And you see, part of experiencing life together as couples is that we share the load together. We share the work together. Now, it's unusual for a husband and wife to be partners in a professional sense, in a business. But certainly, as husbands and wives, we are partners in the work that we have to do in maintaining a household, in raising children, in providing for the needs of our family, and all of the things that we do together in building a home and building a strong marriage and growing up strong children, partners in the work. And sometimes frustrations arise when one or the other members of the marriage will let down their end of the deal, where they don't carry out their responsibility. Our men on Wednesday nights have been studying something called 33, the series. It is a study of the 33 years of the life of Jesus. And one of the things we talk about in the definition of biblical manhood is that men accept responsibility and reject passivity. And so often, couples are frustrated because one or the other of them is not carrying their share of the responsibility in the home. And many times it happens to be the man who just sort of sits back and is passive about things that need to be done at home. And so in a marriage partnership like this, there is that sharing of life together. Now, you may have already picked up on the fact that not only did they share the work together, but they also experienced persecution and hardship together in life. Remember, they are in Corinth because they've been forced out of Rome by the edict of Claudius. Acts 18:2 says that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. Now, the text here doesn't indicate the details of the persecution that occurred. There's some speculation that it revolves around a dispute that arose over someone called Crispus. And scholars think maybe this was an early reference to Christ. And so this dispute may have arisen over a disturbance where there was some arguments going on among the Jews about Jesus. But whatever the case, that Aquila and Priscilla lost their home, they lost their job together. And this is the case with all marriages, that as we experience life together, we're going to go through hard times together, just like Aquila and Priscilla did. And these hard times take on different forms. Sometimes, as a pastor for many, many years, I've seen couples go through so much. The death of a child, the loss of a job, the rebellion of a teenager, the unfaithfulness of one of the partners. And you see, this adversity and this suffering can do one of two things. It can strengthen the metal of your marriage union and make you stronger than you ever were before, or it can drive you apart. And so often that's what happens. But of course, We have strength in the Lord Jesus Christ, and when He's at the center of our relationship, then we have the strength that we need to endure the hardships of life. So, Acts 18 and verse 3 says that Paul came to work with this couple in their tent-making shop. Perhaps he even lived with them during his stay in Corinth. Now, if they were not believers when they came to Corinth, Aquila and Priscilla would have most certainly been converted when they came into contact with the Apostle Paul. That as he came to live with them and work with them, he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And so whenever it happens, we know that Aquila and Priscilla, along with experiencing their work life together and experiencing hard times together, they also, most importantly, experienced a spiritual life together. They were one in Christ. And that's the most important thing in any marriage, is where Jesus Christ fits into the picture. Is He at the center of your home, at the center of your marriage? You know, the Apostle Peter has some counsel for couples when it comes to experiencing this life together. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, Peter addresses the husbands in this way. He says, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Now, I want you to just take a look at that verse for a moment. There's several things about that verse that instruct us about the experience of the spiritual life together as a husband and wife. So it says, "Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way." Why? Why are we to honor and respect our wives? It is because, first of all, she is a weaker vessel. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that somehow the wife, the woman, is inferior in her relationship with God, inferior in her abilities, inferior in her intellectual capacity, her spiritual capacity. It has nothing to do with that. My understanding of this verse is that he's strictly speaking of the physical weakness of a woman as compared to the physiology of a man. And so a man could crush a woman if he wanted to, and yet he doesn't do that because he honors her. He lives with her in an understanding way. She's a weaker vessel, but notice also, since they, your wives, are heirs with you of the grace of life. So what we understand is that men and women are equal in their relationship with God, equal in their standing before God, equal in their in every way under the creation of God. Equal, and yet they have differing roles, complementing roles in the relationship. And so the husband is to treat his wife with respect in this way, because she is an heir with you of the grace of life. That is, you share together a life that is incredibly important. You both are heirs in Jesus Christ. You both are brother. You're not just husband and wife. You're brother and sisters in the Lord. Now, this is an important understanding for us of experiencing life together in Jesus Christ. So, marriage partners experience life together. But something else, marriage partners grow together. Marriage partners grow together. Now, as we flip through the pages of this couple's biblical marriage album, it's apparent that they grow in their relationship with the Lord and with each other. Can you imagine spending day and night with the man who was engaged at the time in writing a huge portion of what we have today in the New Testament? Can you imagine living and eating and working with the Apostle Paul? Now, this obviously made a huge impact upon their lives as they grew together. This rich experience must have been something that caused Aquila and Priscilla to explode together in their spiritual life. I want to just illustrate it in this way. And that's to ask you, couples, are you growing together in your relationship with Christ? If you think about it as a triangle, if you, the husband and wife, are at the bottom and God is at the top, that as the two are growing vertically toward the Lord, as they're growing in their relationship with the Lord, moving higher toward the Lord, notice what happens, that they're also moving closer and closer together horizontally as they grow together. And I've seen it the case so often that you see a wife growing in the Lord, but the husband isn't, or a husband is growing in the Lord, but the wife isn't. And it's so important for you to understand that this is a part of experiencing spiritual life together, is growing together. There are a lot of different ways that you can do that. I know couples who read a scripturally based devotional book together and discuss and pray about what they've learned. I know couples who are reading through the Bible together or reading a particular book of the Bible together, and they will talk about what those verses meant to them and pray about them. Or couples that from time to time share what they're learning in their own personal devotional time and the time that they have in the study of God's Word. But in all of this, they're growing together in their relationship with the Lord. And so Aquila and Priscilla grew to where Paul saw them as a great asset in his missionary activities. If you'll just look a little bit later down in Acts chapter 18 and verse 18, it says there that after this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. You see that? Now they are on mission with the Apostle Paul. And that's the next thing about marriage partners. Marriage partners are on mission together. Marriage partners are on mission together. Just look at that verse carefully. You notice there, verse 18, notice the order of their names. Here they are called Priscilla and Aquila. Do you notice that? In fact, of the six times that this couple is mentioned, I remember I said that they're always mentioned together. Of the six times that they're mentioned in the Bible, four of the six times, Priscilla's name comes first. Isn't that interesting? And scholars have speculated why this is the case. It may be because Priscilla became a believer first. Or it may be that because she was from an aristocratic, wealthy family, a well-known family, that her name would have been mentioned first. Or it may be that she was the more spiritually mature of the two. And if that is the case, guys, I just want to remind you of something very important. For you to be the spiritual leader in your home does not necessarily mean that you will be the most spiritually mature person in your home. Because I know many guys whose wives came to know the Lord first and have been growing and walking in the Lord and in His Word for many, many years before the man comes to Christ. And so a man can be serious about his spiritual leadership in his home and still acknowledge and recognize the fact that his wife is way ahead of him spiritually. And this helps us to appreciate the role that our wives can play in our lives in encouraging us in our walk with the Lord. But whatever the case, Priscilla and Aquila are on mission together. You know, there are many purposes in a marriage relationship. God created marriage for a number of different reasons, one of them being intimacy and companionship, another being procreation, to bring children into the world, and another reason that God has designed the marriage relationship, as we've said all along, is to be an advertisement for Jesus Christ and for the gospel, that you as a couple are to be on mission together, showing by the way you live and love each other and throughout your life, pointing others through your marriage to Jesus Christ, being on mission together. And so Acts chapter 18 and verse 19 tells us then that they came to Ephesus. So Aquila and Priscilla now are traveling with the Apostle Paul on his missionary journey. They come to the city, the grand city of Ephesus, and it says that he left them there. But he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So Aquila and Priscilla had grown to the point that the Apostle Paul no longer felt that he needed to nurture them and to keep them under his wing. He could turn them loose and allow them to have their own ministry. And that's the next thing I want you to notice about marriage partnership. Marriage partners minister together. Marriage partners minister together. So the Apostle Paul set off on his missionary journeys, continuing on in his missionary work, and he leaves Priscilla and Aquila behind to minister together on their own in Ephesus. Now, if you read the book of Acts, you read about the many journeys of the Apostle Paul, and what happens is that later Paul would return to Ephesus. After this brief stop there, he would return to Ephesus, and the book of Acts tells us that he spent 3 years there. And one of the things that Paul did while he was 3 years there in Ephesus is that he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. And as Paul writes to the church in Corinth, remember it was there that they first met one another. He says in 1 Corinthians 16:19 that the churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. Now, do you see this? That Aquila and Priscilla were growing in the Lord and growing in their ministry together to where now their home is the meeting place of a church. Now, remember that in early days of the church, they had no buildings, of course, like we enjoy to get today. They were dependent upon the hospitality of wealthier church members to open their homes so that the church could meet there. So Aquila and Priscilla opened their home, and if you've ever done any entertaining, if you understand anything about hospitality, it's not just as simple as opening the door and say, "You guys can meet at our house." You know it's not that simple, don't you, ladies? There's a lot of hard work that goes into serving the Lord in this way. It involves an investment of your time. It involves an investment of your money. And so when Aquila and Priscilla opened their home for the church to meet there, you can be sure that they had opened all of their resources together, their time and their money in ministering to others. Now, their ministry in Ephesus goes even deeper, and this is an amazing episode, an amazing page in the marriage album of Aquila and Priscilla. Back to chapter 18 of Acts. One day, Aquila and Priscilla were attending the synagogue there in Ephesus. They were believers, but they still attended the Jewish synagogue. And while they were there, they heard a Jewish man by the name of Apollos preach. And the Bible says that he was eloquent, that he was passionate, and that he was mighty in the Scriptures. But his knowledge of Christ and his knowledge of the gospel was incomplete. And so Acts 18 and verse 26 says this, that he, that is Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila, notice the names, the name order there, heard him, they took him aside and explain to him the way of God more accurately. Now stop to think about the last time you heard a bad sermon. Last week. Stop to think about the last time you heard a bad sermon. Isn't it typical that you go to the restaurant and you have roast preacher for lunch? And Aquila and Priscilla could have done that. They could have gone away thinking, "My goodness, that was the most ridiculous message I've ever heard." No. What Aquila and Priscilla, or Priscilla and Aquila, do here, as they're ordered in this portion of the Scriptures, it says that they took him aside. That word means they may have taken him into their home and maybe shared a Sabbath meal together. And they explained to Apollos that his knowledge was not complete, that he was well-versed in everything up to John the Baptist, but he was not complete in his knowledge of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and aware of all of the implications of the gospel. And it says that they explain to him the way of God more accurately. Now, what a great ministry that is. To pull aside this young man who has so much potential, to see the potential in him and realize that with a little bit of encouragement and a little bit of instruction, he could become such a great and mighty instrument in the hands of the Lord. You know, Nan and I, as a young couple just getting started in ministry, were so blessed to have older couples who sort of took us under their wings and loved on us and encouraged us and supported us. And we wouldn't be here today were it not for the love and the support of these couples. You know, our church is filled with young couples who are preparing for ministry. They're studying at Southwestern Seminary, one of the other schools, and they're here for a period of time. Perhaps God would lay it upon your heart to just find one of these young couples and take them under your wing and love them and encourage them and show them the things that you have learned in walking with the Lord. Now, we're told that, we're not told if Aquila and Priscilla had any children. That's one thing that the biblical text doesn't include. But you can be sure that if they did have children, they would have done for the children exactly what they did for Apollos. And it's so important for couples to understand that a part of their ministry, if God gives you children, that a part of your ministry together is to disciple your children. Sometimes parents think that the church is responsible, the one primarily responsible for their children's spiritual development and their spiritual formation. But I want you to understand and be reminded today that as parents, we are primarily responsible for the spiritual growth of our children and the discipling of our children. Now, the church comes alongside and supports you and equips you in that. But you and I need to understand that it's not just our responsibility to do this with other people. It's our responsibility to do it with our own children, to help them grow in the Lord. Well, I want us to turn another page or two in the biblical marriage album of this famous couple. Later on in the book of Acts, we learn that Paul returns to Corinth. Again, that's where they first met. And while Paul was on this particular stay in Corinth, he wrote the towering book of Romans. And he concludes that book with yet another reference to this wonderful couple, Aquila and Priscilla. They have now moved back to Rome. Remember, they had to move from there because of the persecution. Now they've moved back to Rome, and Paul concludes his letter to the Romans with these special words in Romans 16 in verse 3. He says, "Greet Priscilla, and Aquila, my fellow workers in Jesus Christ." He goes on to say in verse 4, Romans 16, "who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentile give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house." So they've moved back to Rome, but some things never change. Their home is open also to the church. So we've tracked this mobile couple from Rome to Corinth to Ephesus and back to Rome again. And it's interesting to me that Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, if you take those three letters in the New Testament, you can spend your entire life digging in and studying. They're perhaps the most important churches, at least three of the most important churches in the New Testament world and in New Testament times, and Aquila and Priscilla figure prominently in each one of them as partners in ministry. Now, apparently, Paul owed his very life to this brave husband and wife team. It says in verse 4 that they risk their necks for Paul. Now, what does that mean? The words there in the original mean literally to put the axe to the neck. They put their neck on the chopping block. Now, what happened? It may be that in one of those episodes in Paul's ministry when he is arrested and when he is accused and attacked for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Aquila and Priscilla came to his side and said, "Paul, we've got your back. Whatever happens, we're going to stand with you. And if we lose our life along with you, we're standing beside you. We have your back." That's the kind of people they were in their devotion and in their love. And there's one more page in this couple's marriage album that you need to see. It's near the end of Paul's life. Now he is a Roman prisoner. He's in a prison in Rome, perhaps. And he's writing a letter to his protege and his great preacher friend, Timothy, who is now the pastor back at the church in Ephesus. And as he's writing this letter, 2 Timothy, he's closing. These are some of the last words of the Apostle Paul. He's closing his letter with some greetings. And he says something interesting in 2 Timothy 4:19. He says, "Greet Prisca, Priscilla, and Aquila." Apparently, they've left Rome and they've moved back to Ephesus to help Timothy in the ministry in the church there. Isn't it amazing that every time you turn around, here is this amazing couple right in the middle of what God is doing in his church? And year after year, it's the same. I saw something the other day that was really a blessing to me, and it's a powerful illustration of what we're talking about. I noticed a senior adult couple walking across the parking lot, and they were holding hands. And I happen to know that this couple had been married for more than 50 years. I also happen to know that they had been through some real trials and adversity along the way in their lives together. And yet after 50 years, they're still holding hands. And I would say to you young couples, that's the goal. That after 50 years, to be still holding hands. I would say to you single adults, as you think about the person that God has for you, that you would set that as your goal, that you would marry someone that after 50 years you're still holding hands. And for many of us who are in the middle seasons of life, that sometimes we can lose sight of the goal, let that be your goal, that after 50 years and more, you're still holding hands. Partners in life, partners on mission, partners in ministry. Join me as we pray. I realize that we have people from all different kinds of backgrounds here today and all kinds of life situations. We have single adults and married adults and children. But if you happen to be seated next to your husband or your wife, would you just reach over and take their hand right now, please? And join me as we pray. Lord, I thank you that your word gives so much beautiful, powerful instruction about the marriage relationship. And Lord, I thank you that you, in the very beginning, created them male and female. And you said it's not good for man to be alone, and you created the first marriage. And Lord, all through the Bible, we see instructions by commands and by examples of how husbands and wives are to relate to one another. Lord, we thank you that you've given us this guidance. And Lord, I pray for the marriages of our church that we would all see ourselves as advertisements of the gospel of Jesus, and the way we live together and love and serve and minister and witness together, that others see Jesus through us. Lord, I know that even the talk of marriage brings pain to some hearts, perhaps to a single adult who longs for a life's mate and hasn't found that right person yet. Or for one, Lord, who has lost a loved one, a mate, to death or to divorce. I know, Lord, that these are difficult times for them, and I pray that your grace would sustain them, Lord, as they consider your faithfulness, Lord. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.